Good morning, Central. You probably weren't expecting me up this early yet. This morning, first of all, if you have your Bible, start turning to Mark chapter 12. That's going to be where we start this morning. Mark chapter 12. This morning's service is going to be a little bit different. It's actually not a Mark service like we've been doing, studying through the book of Mark. This morning's service is going to focus on the Lord's Supper throughout all of our worship today, both in song, in what we study and read about, and of course in partaking of the Lord's Supper at the end of our services this morning. But as we consider the Lord's Supper and reflecting on what Jesus did, reflecting on who we should be, reflecting on where we should go, I want to start with Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 28 through 30. It says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" The greatest command: God is one, and we must love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That is a command we often read about. It's a command we often sing about. Because these words, the words of Jesus, are foundational to our faith. Why would you have a faith if you didn't first learn to love God? How could you remain faithful if you didn't first love God with everything that you have? The transformative power of these words are really beyond our comprehension to understand, because they affect every aspect of our life and the life of every person on earth. But sometimes, because of the greatest command's widespread application, because of how relevant it is to everyone, we only talk about it in general terms. Love God with everything you have. Give your all to God. Be all in for the Lord. And those are true, and those are helpful. But what does that specifically mean? Generalities are important and necessary in our faith, but every single one of us has asked ourselves the question, how do I love God in this situation? What does loving God look like with this person or with this relationship? What am I going to do in this moment that shows God that I love him with my all? Loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength is important to understand conceptually, but living the Christian life is going to force us to have specific answers to how we live and carry that out. And so, like I said, today's service is focused on the Lord's Supper and helping our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength be more focused on Jesus as we look at his example and what he did for us. But instead of just talking about the Lord's Supper, we're going to look at how the Lord's Supper reminds us of the ways we are called to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But before we get there, we must prepare our heart, souls, mind, and strength for worship and the Lord's Supper. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I hope you brought your Bibles. We're going to be bouncing around a lot today. First Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 27 through 29. "Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." We all have different passages that probably come to mind as we take the Lord's Supper and we think about Jesus' sacrifice. This is one that often comes to my mind during the Lord's Supper because it's a sobering reminder to me of the importance of preparing ourselves as we take communion, as we participate in worship. We live in a culture that is constantly moving from activity to activity. You're going from any kind of work to any kind of recreation to any kind of to-do list, and it's just constant back and forth. And it, the busyness of that schedule often leads to a lack of time for thought and preparation about what we're going to do next. We wake up, we eat breakfast, we go to work, we run errands, we eat dinner, we maybe watch TV, we go to bed, and we repeat. The busyness of our society doesn't allow for us to prepare for many of those activities. We jump in and we do it. And that isn't always bad. There is a place for hustle and for fast-moving, hard work. But the danger, I think, is when that way of life bleeds into the way we approach worship and the Lord's Supper. Too often I find myself, and you may relate to this, waking up, eating breakfast, getting ready, getting to worship, talking to a couple people right before one of the elders comes up and starts our service, getting in my pew really quickly, taking the Lord's Supper, going through the rest of worship, going to lunch, and getting on with the rest of my day, because there's probably 101 other things to do that day. And I really put zero thought into how I was going to take the Lord's Supper that day. I spent no time preparing myself to remember what Christ did for me, or time preparing to worship my God, who has done everything for me. Being thoughtless in how we prepare for the Lord's Supper and worship leads to a thoughtless Lord's Supper and worship. And so, I invite you to join me this morning in preparing our hearts, souls, minds, and our strength for what we're about to do today in worship. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 51. How do we prepare our heart for the Lord's Supper and for worship? Psalm chapter 51. David writes in verse 3 and 4 of Psalm 51, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." And then down in verse 10, he continues, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." One way that David loved God with all of his heart was to admit to God the parts of his heart that didn't show their love to him. David's heart was flawed, like each of ours. His heart was tempted into wanting and doing things that are evil. But David didn't hide that from God. He openly confessed his sins and his broken heart to God, and he asked God to give him a cleaner, more righteous heart. As we prepare our hearts for worship and to take the Lord's Supper, I would encourage you, evaluate your heart. Admit to God the parts of your heart that are not his. What parts of your heart love something else or someone else more than God right now? What parts of your heart keep leading you to sin? And admit that to God. But also, like David did, pray that God would forgive your sin, cleanse your heart, and help your heart to be all about loving and serving him. But what about our soul? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. How do we prepare our souls for worship and for the Lord's Supper? Ezekiel chapter 18, I'm going to be reading verse 4. "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die." Now, this verse is in the middle of one of Ezekiel's prophecies from God. And there's far more being taught in Ezekiel 18 than we're going to get into today. But this prophecy does contain the simple yet crucial reminder that, one, we each have a soul, and two, our souls belong to God. You are not just a physical body. You are not just a bundle of atoms floating around. You have a soul. You have a spiritual part of who you are. And there's more to this world and more to your very identity than just the physical things that we see. There is a spiritual reality around us, and there is a spiritual component to us. But more than that, your life, both physical and spiritual, is not yours alone. You belong to God long before you could ever make decisions and choices. And now, you get to choose whether you are going to take care of your soul or forget that it is there and forget who it belongs to. So as we prepare our souls to worship and to take the Lord's Supper, I would encourage you, think about the fact that you are more than just physical. You are a spiritual being just as much as you are a physical being. And I encourage you to also ask yourself, am I living like my soul is my own, or like my soul belongs to God? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. How do we prepare our minds to worship, our minds to take the Lord's Supper? 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 13. Peter writes, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In worship and often in the Lord's Supper, we focus a lot on hope and grace and forgiveness, salvation, and obviously on Jesus. We like to talk about those positive, encouraging things, and that's good. That's helpful. I'm glad that we do that. Those things are things Jesus wants us to know, things that Jesus taught himself. They're important to our faith. But notice what Peter says before we set our hope on the grace that will be brought at the revelation of Jesus. He tells us to prepare our minds for action and to be sober-minded. Let's start with the second one, maybe the simpler one, being sober-minded. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever been distracted in a worship service before? I am chief among that. I get distracted all the time, and it's typically my fault. I let my thoughts run and go somewhere else. But one of the reasons that that happens, yeah, sometimes we get distracted and it's out of our control. But one of the reasons that I get distracted, and this is probably true for many of us, is that I have not prepared my mind beforehand to be undistracted, to be unaffected during worship. What if we spent time preparing our minds to be focused and alert before worship? Would that change anything? But then the other thing Peter says is prepare our minds for action. That seems rather an odd statement. But what Peter is saying is Christianity is not a spectator religion. It is a life of faith and action. And if our minds are not ready for that, then we will be unprepared to live faithfully. So as we prepare our minds for worship and to take the Lord's Supper this morning, I would encourage you to pray for focus and to remove the distractions out of your mind so that you can be sober-minded. But also, when you worship, when you take the Lord's Supper, both today and every Sunday, expect to be pushed to action. Prepare your mind to be motivated towards faithfulness. Prepare your mind to be ready to live up to the example of Christ and to better follow the teaching that's presented from God's Word that day. Turn just a few pages over to 1 Peter chapter 4. How do we prepare our strength for worship? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the Greek word for strength in Mark, where we started, and in 1 Peter in this passage, is the same word, ischus. And it specifically means the type of strength that refers to our ability, our might, our power, our forcefulness. And so in Mark, we're told to love God with all our ability, our might, and our force. It is somewhat challenging maybe to understand that in the loving God with all of that. That's so such a big, generic concept to understand. But I think reading 1 Peter helps us to clarify what is being meant. In 1 Peter, we are told to use our gifts to serve God with all of our ability, our might, our force. Everything, all the talents and the abilities that we've been given, we're supposed to use that with every ounce of strength, ounce of ability, ounce of power that we have for God. We are not called to just serve God. We are called to serve God passionately, wholeheartedly, with everything that we have. That's the same picture back in Mark. We are called to love God passionately, wholeheartedly, with everything that we have, with our strength. As we prepare to give God all of our worship, all of our strength in worship and in the Lord's Supper, I would also encourage you to examine yourself and ask yourself, when I worship, do I passionately give my all to God? Do I worship with all my might and all my ability? Or do the words of the songs barely escape my mouth? Do the prayers and the lessons barely make it into my thoughts and my heart? Are you ready to worship God and to remember His Son with all of your strength? That's the question we all have to ask ourselves really every week when we come together. Now, for the next few moments, we're going to take time to be in prayerful silence. And in a minute, Adam will come and lead us in some more song. But for the next few moments, I would ask that you spend time preparing your heart, soul, mind, and strength to worship God and participate in the Lord's Supper. You may be thinking, I don't know what that means. There's many ways it could be done. I will be spending it in prayer, and I invite you to do that too. You can spend it reading God's Word. You can spend it in thoughtfulness, however you would like to spend it. But for the next few moments, we are going to be in silence as we prepare to worship and evaluate ourselves where we're at today. And then in a moment, Adam will come and lead us in a couple more songs before I come back.
Number 722, when I survey the wondrous cross, sing it from 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Jesus knew the right thing to do was to be faithful to God's plan,
to die for the sins of the world. But the man side of Jesus struggled because of the physical and spiritual pain he knew he would have to endure. And so Jesus' soul was sorrowful. Like so many of us have felt before, Jesus had a tug of war going on in him between what his soul knew was right and what his flesh wanted to do or wanted to avoid. And yet, in spite of that struggle, in spite of the temptation to abandon what he was sent to do, Jesus chose to prioritize the spiritual over the physical. Jesus faithfully chose the will of God over the will of the flesh. He did that for you, and he did that for me. That is the King that we serve. That is the Savior that died for us. As you take the Lord's Supper this morning, remember the soul of Christ. Turn to John. John chapter 19. We're now going to go to the cross. But we're going to look at a very specific moment while Jesus was on the cross. John chapter 19, and look at verse 25 through 27. We're going to look into the mind of Christ here. In verse 25, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Christ's mind was focused on the things of God in spite of distraction. Jesus, in this passage, is hanging on the cross. He's bleeding. He's suffocating. He's experiencing pain on levels we can't imagine. And all the while, he's pushing himself to endure it when he could easily make it end and call angels to take him off the cross. That is really only a small sample of the things that were likely on the mind of Jesus while he hung on the cross. Yet he never let any of those thoughts and those feelings distract him from focusing on the things of God. Jesus was on the cross for people. He was on it for you and for me. Jesus was on the cross in order to love and to save humankind. And Jesus didn't forget that in his pain. Instead, he focused on showing that love even more by asking the Apostle John to care for his mother. Wasn't Jesus already doing enough on the cross? Why did he even bother to say anything to Mary and John? I bet the words coming out of his mouth caused unspeakable agony. He didn't have to do that. Sure, he didn't. But Jesus was so focused on the things of God, like caring for his mother. And he would not let anything distract his mind from that. That is the King that we serve. That is the Savior that died for us. As you take the Lord's Supper this morning, remember the mind of Christ. Turn back to chapter 10 of John. Same book, chapter 10. We're now going to go back to Jesus' ministry. But Jesus' ministry was full of looking forward towards what was to come. In John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, we see the strength of Christ. Jesus says in verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Christ's strength is demonstrated in his willingness to give his all on the cross because of his wholehearted love for the Father and his wholehearted love for us. Christ was not forced to die for us. He could have backed out at any moment. He could have refused to come to earth in the first place. But rather, he willingly gave his life for all of us. He willingly gave it all for all of us. You know, giving one's all in anything never comes from a place of weakness, whether that's on the job, whether that's in family, whether that's laying down your life. giving one's all requires every bit of strength, might, and power that an individual has. Christ loved the Father and us so much that with all his strength and might, he chose to die for us so that we could be with him. That is the King that we serve. That is the Savior that died for us. As you take the Lord's Supper this morning, remember the strength of Christ.
If the men that are going to be helping serve communion today would like you to come to the front at this time. In a moment, we are going to be taking the Lord's Supper and remembering Christ's sacrifice. But as we think about Christ, as we think about what we just said about his heart and his soul, his mind, his strength, we also have to think about ourselves as well. We are called to remember, but we are also called to follow. Hudson just read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And this passage encourages us to remember what Jesus did. It encourages us to reflect on the power of his sacrifice. But the main message of this passage is not to just remember, but to imitate and follow. Philippians 2 challenges us to be like Christ and to follow his example. The main message of this passage is to grow in Christ-likeness. We should have the heart of Christ, who did nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility counted others more significant than himself. We should have the soul of Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. We should have the mind of Christ, who looked not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, and most importantly, to the interests of his Father. And we should have the strength of Christ, who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But in order to remember and to imitate the heart, soul, mind, and strength of Jesus, we must honestly evaluate our own heart, soul, mind, and strength, and compare them to Christ's standard. How is your heart doing this morning? Are you pursuing the purity and holiness that Jesus had on the cross? Or have you let sin stain your life? How is your soul doing this morning? Are you faithfully prioritizing the spiritual over the physical like Jesus did on the cross? Or have you let your flesh overcome your spirit? How is your mind doing this morning? Are you staying focused on the things of God despite distractions like Jesus did on the cross? Or have you let the cares of the world refocus your mind away from things that are above? And how is your strength doing this morning? Are you passionately and wholeheartedly giving your all for God and for others like Jesus did on the cross? Or have you started giving God and others less than your best? Some of us will have positive answers to those questions, and that's wonderful. Others of us will have negative answers to those questions. And that's a reason to do better and to strive to be better. Probably most of us will have a mixture of both. Wherever you are this morning, I ask that you take it to God in prayer as we remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection through this memorial feast. Pray for a clean heart, a faithful soul, a focused mind, and a renewed strength that all reflect our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This time we're going to pray for the bread, and then it will be passed around for us to remember Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son for so many reasons. He died for us. He made it possible to have our sins washed away, to be with you. And he also was our example in everything, in the way our hearts should be, in the way our souls and minds and our strength should be, and really in every aspect of life. As we remember his perfect body that was broken for us, help us to honestly admit where we are today and to be motivated and to make a plan to be more like Christ's perfect body as we go forward. Help us to never forget what was done for us and to never let the motivation that comes from that sacrifice leave us. Help us to always be committed to you, to always remember what Jesus did. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace and the joy and the hope that come from having our sins washed away. We will never fully be like Jesus in the way that we live our lives here on earth. We make mistakes and we fall short. Even when we are doing our best and we are trying our hardest, we are imperfect. But thank you for providing a way for forgiveness, for providing a way for redemption. Thank you for the forgiveness you give us, the forgiveness you empower other people to give us, and the forgiveness that you empower us to give ourselves. Help us to never forget where all of that comes from your Son and his sacrifice. Be with us this morning as we continue to worship. Help us to be focused, to be pure, to be humble, to honor you in all that we do. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. As part of our worship, we remind and encourage and give ourselves the opportunity to give back financially what the Lord has given to us and blessed us with. Giving of our money is important. It supports the work of the church, it promotes self-sacrifice, and it ultimately shows a trust and a reliance on God to provide for us. And so if you are a Christian this morning, and you can cheerfully and willingly give this morning, I would encourage you to do so. But I want to make one thing clear about our giving this morning. God wants us to give him our heart, soul, mind, and strength before he ever wants our money. If you give money to God every Sunday, but you are keeping your heart, soul, mind, and strength from him, you are missing the point of Christianity. Yes, giving of our means is important, and it's commanded, and it's part of being a Christian. But let's not forget that God also wants our heart, soul, mind, and strength first. Have you given God your all this morning? Let's pray for the offering this morning. Dear Lord, there is nothing we have that is not yours. Let us never forget that. You gave everything for us. You gave your Son. Help us to be people that give everything to you, whether that's of our financial blessings, whether that's of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, our time, our energy, whatever it may be. Help us to be people that can truly say that we've held nothing back from you. Please bless what is given today. Help it to bless others. Help it to lead others to you so that they can be a part of your family as well. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I hope, has been a very intentional time of worship and reflection and remembering Jesus. But we also, every Sunday morning, we want to offer the invitation to those who maybe are not a part of God's family. And maybe something that you heard today, you don't know what it's about. You don't know what the Lord's Supper is about. You don't know exactly what Christ has done for you, what we are remembering today as Christians. And that's okay that you don't know that, but we want to share that with you. We want to share the good news of what Jesus has done for us. The reason we come here every Sunday is not because of ritual or because our parents make us or our parents and their parents did it. We do it because we love Jesus and he loved us and he gave us everything and we want to give him everything. And so if you're not a Christian and you want to know more, we would love nothing more than to study with you. Maybe you have been studying and you are ready to give all of you. You're ready to give your heart, soul, mind, and strength to Jesus and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And we are here to do that this morning if that's what you want. Maybe you are a Christian, and something that's been said or something that you've thought or something that you've prayed today has pricked your heart, and you realize that maybe one of these areas you're not giving all of it to God, and you need forgiveness and you need prayers, we're also here for that too. Whatever your need, we ask that you come as we stand and we sing.